Sisters Mary Urban, Sister Ruth, Sister Judy, Sister Mary Ann, congratulations and many blessings on your ministry in the days to come. I'm sharing this homiletic experience with Sister Jeannie, who will get the final word after communion today. In the late 18th century, there was no American portrait artist more famous, more celebrated, more sought after than Gilbert Stuart. He was born in Rhode Island, and he was something of a prodigy, producing a formal portrait first when he was only 12 years old. In 1796, at the height of his career, Stuart was commissioned to do what would become his most famous work, a portrait of George Washington. Well, at the time, people were eager to have pictures of Washington to hang in their homes and in their businesses. The demand was great, and so Stuart decided to capitalize on that, and he interrupted his work to make copies of what he had completed. He sold them for a then astronomical amount of $100 apiece. That image of George Washington became so popular, so widespread, it was eventually adapted and used on the $1 bill. But if you see the original painting now hanging in Boston's Museum of Fine Arts, you notice something striking about it, and that is that most of the canvas is empty. Only one corner, featuring Washington's face, is complete. Gilbert Stuart never went back to finish it, and to this day it's considered one of the world's greatest unfinished masterpieces. Next time you open your wallet, consider this. You have an unfinished masterpiece there. But the irony is this, that the image that appears on millions of pieces of money exists in part because the man who created it was deep in debt. Gilbert Stuart ended up making all of those copies of the painting because he desperately needed to pay off his debts. At one point, he was even in danger of being sent to debtor's prison. He fled to Ireland. When he died, his family couldn't even afford a proper burial. He was placed in an unmarked grave. But he left behind hundreds of portraits, including that image on the $1 bill, that unfinished masterpiece. And an unfinished masterpiece, a great work left undone, is what Jesus was talking about in the gospel today. He continued his long walk to Jerusalem in Luke's gospel, his final journey to Calvary and to his resurrection. And Jesus stopped along the way and told the crowds who were with him, "If you really want to follow me, know what you're getting into. There will be crosses. There will be suffering and heartache, sacrifice and pain. Be prepared to turn your back on the things you love, even your family and the life you're leading now, to be my disciple. Open your eyes," he said. "Act as if you're building a tower and calculate the cost. Measure what will be required. Otherwise, you may lose heart and walk away from it. The work you are undertaking, what we are all undertaking, may end up incomplete, like an unfinished masterpiece." Jesus, as he often did, once again revealed his profound understanding of human nature. How many projects do we begin only to abandon? How many of us have basements or rooms or paint jobs that are half finished, novels half written, or half read, projects we have never completed. It is human to jump into something, a job, a hobby, even a relationship, without truly realizing what is involved. But Jesus told his disciples and us, "You've been warned, it won't be easy. Be prepared for that. And be prepared to give up everything, even your life, for the sake of the kingdom of God." If anyone had any doubts about what he was talking about, they would find out soon enough when he arrived in Jerusalem in the final week of his life. This gospel is a hard lesson for us. Today, as we celebrate these anniversaries of these four sisters of St. Joseph, the last thing we might expect to hear is how tough Christian life can be, how we need to hate, that is, to let go of, the things we love in order to truly embrace the gospel message. Sisters, as you hear this gospel today, I can only imagine that you hear it a bit differently than you did 55 or 60 or 70 years ago. I hope all of us do, because we hear it, all of us do, in the context of a life lived and a relationship with Jesus Christ that grows day after day. Ultimately, our lives are like that Gilbert Stuart painting, works in progress, waiting to be completed. Some of the canvas is still empty. Knowing that, don't stop now. Go all the way. Cover the canvas with bold and courageous colors. Fill it with faithfulness, with prayer, with obedience to God. Live a life of sacrifice, humility, and love. Not just the sisters, all of us. In the end, we will be able to give God something beautiful, a work that with every brushstroke, with every choice, says, "I followed Christ." That is the great work of our lives, all of us, the challenge to bring it all to completion in Christ. Each of us, in a way, is an unfinished masterpiece. By God's grace, may we all finish that great work that he wants us to do.
I'm going to make sure I have the right script. You may want to hear Steve's homily a second time, but that's not what I want to give. Today we've gathered to praise God and to celebrate the jubilees of four unfinished masterpieces. When these women were 18 and beginning their lives as Sisters of St. Joseph, the words of the first reading were very real to them. Who can conceive what the Lord intends? As with each of us, as we begin a new marriage, a new job, a new school year, we have no idea what will be asked of us in its course. If there's one thing we know about life, it's that it's unpredictable. How we respond to life's invitation is key. Are we open to searching for God, for grace, in each event? Are we open to recognizing that what we are asked to renounce, to give up, to hate, meaning not put first, is ultimately the doorway to a gift? So often it isn't the stuff that's hard to give over, but our attitude. I want to cling to my negativity, my pride, my jealousy, my anger, my self-righteousness. I want to lay claim to my opinion, my way of doing things, my preferences. Religious life, like marriage, demands that we make way for others. Selfishness does not make for harmonious relationships. Our vow of poverty is not about material things being evil, but about the claim they can make on our hearts that take us away from our focus on God. Our vow of celibacy celebrates the value of true sexual love as the closest we humans can get to the unity and intimacy of the Trinity, while also recognizing that it can shift our freedom to offer ourselves in dangerous situations of ministry. Our vow of obedience challenges us to share our beliefs and opinions with one another as we listen for God's invitation in the mix of voices. What risks are we called to take for the sake of others? Think about your marriage vows, your work contracts, your commitment to your schoolwork in a similar way. How do they invite you to deeper discipleship? What of yourself are you called to give over rather than give up for the deepening of a relationship and the excellence of a project? Sisters Urban, Ruth, Judy, and Marianne are examples to us today of unfinished masterpieces, of disciples still in the making after all these years. May their lives inspire us to faithfully interpret what God intends and to recognize the masterpiece that God is creating in each one of us.